This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Boy, we've got some great guests. I mean, we've got some great guests in store for you today. A show full of stars and full packed the whole hour. We're going to start out talking with Jared Bell from USA Today. And then we'll talk with our good friend, Terry Foster from the Detroit News. And then we'll end up with Mike DeCourcy. So, boy, we've got a great show in store for you today. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Once again, 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, spread the word around. That's what we need for each and every one of you to do. Spread the word around. Remember, you can reach us each and every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. But we need for you to tell your friends, your neighbors, everyone you know that there's Sports Talk every afternoon from 1 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. So just give us a call, talk sports with us, or just, better yet, call your friends and neighbors and everyone you know and let them know there's sports on right here on AM 870 WKAR. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And then we'll call a little bit later on, we're going to call Terry Foster down in Detroit, talk about some of the Detroit sports, the Detroit Red Wings getting back into action. We'll talk about the spring training coming, that'll be coming up in a couple of weeks. So for all of you baseball fans, you can get ready for that. And of course, you can talk about football playoffs, even though the Lions won't be in it. But you can still talk about football playoffs, even though there are no Lions to talk about. But you can do that. And then you can talk about another team where there's still a slim chance, but probably won't be any playoffs, and that's the Detroit Pistons. So we'll talk about them as well. So just give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Hopefully, you'll be going to, there are a lot of good high school games in the area. Hopefully, you'll get to one tonight. I plan on getting over to the Lansing-Sexton Holt game tonight. That should be a very good game. So maybe I'll see you there. See you at that one, and I'll be over there at that game. Holt and Sexton should be one of the better games in the Mid-Michigan area. But give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And remember, if you've never called us before, you can become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Now, I think I asked this question yesterday. I had a call from someone asked me, would you have voted in the steroid players into the Hall of Fame? Why or why not? And I think I did answer that question. I wouldn't have voted them in the Hall of Fame. Some of you would have, of course, and some didn't. But I was one of those who wouldn't have voted. That's for sure. Well, let's bring in our good friend Jared Bell, and he's in New England, and he's getting ready for that game between the Patriots and the San Francisco 49ers. So let's bring in Jared Bell. Jared, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, pretty good, Earl. How are things?
Hey, pretty good, and you're in a good place you're going to see a very good game between New England and of course San Francisco.
Houston.
You know,
they clobbered the Texans a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they did.
When the Texans were like 11-1, so that's part of the storyline here. Is like, is it going to be an easy win for them or not? But I think it's got the potential to be a trap because you know, remember the Patriots have lost a couple of these divisional playoff round games at home. They lost to the Jets one time. They lost to Baltimore. And the other thing that I find interesting is, you know, the Patriots have been a consistent winner, right?
Yep.
And they keep winning the division. They're in the playoffs every year. Brady, Belichick, blah, blah, blah. But they haven't won a Super Bowl, okay?
In a long time,
okay?
Yes.
They've been there a couple times, but
yep.
they haven't come through. And so you wonder kind of if this is a, you know, set up for that run or not, because they won three Super Bowls in like 4 years, and you know, starting in 2001. But since 2004, it's been pretty dry for trophies.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I mean, yeah, Houston, yeah, I expect them probably, I mean, no one is, you know, obviously a lot of the fans and anything aren't giving them much of a chance or any chance at all. That's what makes me want to give them a bigger chance, because everybody else is putting them down or not giving them a chance. And I like teams in that situation because they have nothing to lose for, everything to gain, and that puts Houston in a very good spot.
Yeah, well, the one thing that I think they have that's good is that they've got Arian Foster in the running game. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the league has become so much more of a passing league in recent years, but it seems that when you get to the playoffs, if you still have that running game and can play tough defense, obviously, it's traditional football. So you still have a place for that in this day and age of, you know, fancy passing. So I'll give Houston a chance, but I still think the Patriots will. We'll get through this one, but we'll see.
Yes, we'll see. And of course, when you have the passing game, you don't have. They've got one of the better receivers in the league, so that also helps them as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Andre Johnson is the truth. No question about that. So they held them in check a few weeks ago. So we'll see if they can do it again. You know, the Patriots secondary and their pass defense is really kind of, you know, one of the areas of suspicion with this defense. I think they've gotten better over the past couple of years, but this is different than it used to be for the Patriots, who always had those really good defenses, right? You know,
yeah.
They didn't have a lot of big name players, if you will, but they had, you know, Bruschi and McGinnis and Mike Vrabel and Rodney Harris, and you know, so they had guys that played so well as a unit, and that always gave them a good foundation, and then whatever Tom Brady did on offense was, you know, supported by that defense. Well, now they're just as liable to give up a bunch of yards and a bunch of points. So it kind of changes the dynamic for them.
Okay, well, we got a caller on the line for you. We got Michael from Saginaw. Michael, how you doing?
Thank you. How you doing there, Earl? Jared, I got a good question about the hiring of the coaches. Now, I know that they're going to interviewing college coaches, but I want to know whatever happened to minority hiring. Why?
Yeah, good question. I've been thinking about that and talking
about Jared?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question, and they have not been getting the opportunity. They haven't been getting the jobs, and you know, we've got the Rooney Rule in the NFL, and, you know, you're really starting to wonder again. And you know, since the rule's been there for like 10 years now, and some years it's worked better than other years, but this seems to be one of those years where you see a lot of interviews and say, oh, yeah, that guy's not really going to get the job. Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator for the woebegone Arizona Cardinals. I mean, do you really think he's a serious candidate? But he's had like three job interviews for head coach. And then Keith Armstrong is the special teams coach for the Atlanta Falcons. He's interviewed with about four teams, and I think he's on the list to do a couple more. Are people really serious about him? I don't know. I mean, if you're Keith Armstrong or you're Ray Horton and you're a young guy and you want to be a head coach one day, yeah, you've got to take the interview and go through the process. But I also think, you know, it's looking like, you know, some of these situations are not as legit as they used to be.
Okay. I just want to know, well, it's a player that was born in my area of the woods named Charles Rogers. And when he played for the Detroit Lions, it seemed like he had all the talent in the world, but it's just like he fell off and got into drug abuse and stuff. How could you just lose your talent? Is it the way that professional sports teams, do they spend more time trying to help the people they sign the contracts and work with them if they have issues like drug-dependent problems or issues of of, like, maybe family members who are trying to take advantage of them when they sign big contracts? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, it's a lot of lifestyle issues. And, you know, I think, you know, the league has some programs, but for the most part, you know, it's different from team to team. You know, the Patriots do it here, you know, a bit differently than the Baltimore Ravens do, and they do it a little differently than the Dallas Cowboys do. So every team kind of has their own structure of how they support players. And one thing with the Patriots, they don't bring in a lot of guys who have had a history of things. And then once, if something does happen with some of these guys, and you see it with the Steelers too, saw it with the Steelers yesterday, they get rid of guys. They have a real low or zero tolerance to stuff that happens. I think in the case of Charles Rogers and the Lions, that's interesting because they took him so high, invested so much money in him, and they knew he had problems in college and he was going to need some support. And so it just didn't work. Maybe Charles Rogers would have been a success if he, you know, ended up with the Houston Texans or the Miami Dolphins or somebody where he could have been away from some of the things
yes.
that, you know, kind of weighed on him. But I think it's a great question, and we've seen this over the years when you get to the draft where, you know, that's, you know, a big part of the draft evaluation. You know, a lot of teams will, you know, take players off the board if they've had issues and they think that the guy is a potential, you know, has a potential for trouble. So it's definitely part of it. And then you see what happened in Kansas City this year with the tragedy, and you say, boy, you know, yeah, you want to help guys, obviously. But in some cases, you know, it's like, do you really want to have guys who have the potential to have some issues? And, you know, it's a tough thing.
Okay, here's one more question I want to talk about. I think about Antonio Cromartie of the Jets with all those children he have, and Ray Lewis, because he was once upon a time, he had a murder case and everything. I just want to know, if you is it just you a product? Is these, some of these guys are aware that they are a product of their environment, or they are victim of circumstances? I just take it off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, it's an individual thing, but and a thing of personal responsibility and accountability and principles and all of that. I think it's a great point that you raised, that, you know, about, you know, people having, you know, kids out of wedlock, and so many kids, and they don't take care of them. It's a shame. You know, you can add a whole lot of other names to that list. You know, I think it's tough to kind of put everybody in the same group and say this is like all football players or all black football players or, you know, all guys from the Big Ten or anything like that. You just can't do that. So it does get to be an individual thing. But I don't buy the excuse that it's a product of circumstance or people being taken advantage of, because you've got to be you know, grown enough to know it. I think the one thing, you know, like we hear it a lot of times around the draft, they say, well, this player's got a character issue and that sort of thing. Sometimes it may not even be character, it just may be maturity. And you have to make decisions like an adult for how you manage your life. And, you know, once you get to the NFL and you've got millions of dollars in your pockets, it doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden going to grow up. And so I think if you can, you know, help guys before they get to that point. And, you know, whose responsibility is that? It's a broad net, really. But anybody who's in touch with anybody who is, you know, non-athletic or athletic, those kind of principles kind of have to be, you know, addressed, I guess.
Yeah, Jared, before I let you go, just one question. Has the book Spygate had any impact on New England at all?
No, I don't think so. I think it's been kind of an under the radar type of situation. It did generate a lot of questions and added some more layers to that situation. But no, I don't see where it's been a big issue here. Because remember, it was something that happened a few years ago, and you know they had a lot of controversy at that time and a fine and really, you know, a lot of criticism at that point. But I think the way this thing goes now with the news cycle is like there's so many other things that have come out since Spygate or since that book last fall that have generated news that it's kind of, you know, it has not dominated, obviously.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Jared. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. I know you're busy, so we'll let you go, and we'll talk to you probably when it gets close to Super Bowl time.
Okay, Earl. I appreciate you having me, okay?
Hey, thank you, buddy.
Right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yep. Okay.
And
yep,
that's, bye-bye. And that's Jared Bell from USA Today talking sports with us right here on AM 870. 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Can we fight cancer by attacking its genetic weak spots? I'm Ira Flatto. Join me on Science Friday for a look at how doctors are using genetics to uncover new ways to treat cancer patients. Then how our love for the latest and greatest gadgets is causing a big e-waste problem. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us. Light rain showers today with a high in the low 50s. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, becoming partly cloudy, a low in the upper 40s. A nice partly sunny day on Saturday, highs in the upper 50s. And mostly cloudy for Sunday, there's a chance of light freezing rain, light snow, and light sleet, and highs in the lower 30s. This is Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, you can become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And now we're going to bring in another good friend of ours and talk sports with him, but sports around the state of Michigan. So if you have any questions for Terry Foster, just give us a call and talk with Terry. And we've got a lot of things we can ask Terry today. Let's bring in our guest, Terry Foster. Terry, what's going on, buddy?
Okay. Hello.
Hello. What's up? Hey, what's happening, buddy?
What's going on? You all right? Can you hear me here?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
All right, beautiful. I'm trying to be in a nice, quiet spot so we can hear one another.
Yeah. How do you look? I mean, I've been reading a lot about the game with Michigan State. Do you see it as just a lucky game that they just won by a luck in the last minute? Was it one of those kind of games, or do you think they had a little bit more to it?
Well, I mean, look, a lot of times when you went on the road, it's luck. If you want to, you know, because the kid missed the free throws and, you know, they had a couple opportunities to win, that's fine. But I will say this. I do respect the Big Ten this year for basketball, not necessarily for football. And I just think there's going to be so many times where good teams like Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State are going to have to hang around on the road, play through the frenzies, and try to steal it at the end. That's what Michigan State did last night. They put themselves in a position to win. It was up to Iowa to win the game and take it away. They didn't do it. So that's a flaw in Iowa as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, if you want to call it lucky, fine. I call it a Big Ten road victory.
Yeah, now this is the thing with the Big Ten, because it is such a tough conference, and it is, just like you said, and a lot of people have said, it's extremely tough to win on the road. With that being said, being so tough to win on the road, that means you really have to have a good team and really a good veteran team. You probably hear that a lot. People are so hung up on freshmen and sophomores and what they do and what they can't do. They never give the veterans, because the veterans don't make as many mistakes as freshmen and sophomores. They just don't make as many mistakes as those guys do, and they just never seem to get their just due because they're a senior or a junior.
Well, here's the sad thing about college basketball, Earl. Now, we just had a press conference here. Taylor Lewan is coming back for his senior season at Michigan to play football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, great job, good decision. He's a good Michigan man. This is a great player, school over the pros. Mm-hmm. If Trey Burke decides, let's say he decides to come back and play his senior year at Michigan in basketball, then people say, well, the guy must not be able to play. So when you have veterans, when you have seniors, people assume whether they – you know, they can't play or else they would have gone to the NBA. But those are the guys that really win you big games. And I know Kentucky won a national title, but but they had all NBA players. But look at a few years ago, Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
Yeah.
They had, I think it was 6 fifth-year seniors. Now, you know, Duke, nobody wanted those guys, but they stuck together, they hung around, and they made a run during the tournament. So I think if you have a team with veteran leadership, and maybe they're not as talented as some of the other guys, they're going to be dangerous in this Big Ten. They'll be dangerous during the Big Ten tournament. But I do think once the NCAA tournament happens, that maybe the team with the more talent, you know, might win because, I mean, to me, the NCAA tournament has turned into a sort of a circus. It's like, hey, look at me, and it's and everybody's trying to show how good they are. And, and sometimes it's not real basketball. You know what I'm saying? So I think we might see two different or three different seasons where the veterans might be better during the regular season in the Big Ten tournament than the NCAA tournament starts than anything can happen.
Yes, I know, especially with the Big Ten tournament this year. With the Big Ten being so tough, that tournament should be a barn burner this year, shouldn't it?
It should be. I mean, we probably want to watch the first day. There's a bunch of teams that I want to see play. And there's few teams in the Big Ten I really don't care about. You know, Nebraska, probably Northwestern, and when it all plays out, Iowa, even though they played Michigan State well. But there's a bunch of teams that you want to see. I mean, I'm even interested in Illinois, Minnesota, which, you know, has been on that cusp of a top 25 team. They look pretty tough now. Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State. You know, these are going to be very interesting teams to watch. And I just think, you know, even on day one, we're going to get some matchups. And we're going to be saying, dang, I can't believe so-and-so is playing this team on day one. Are you kidding me? That's going to be some good action.
Yes. I know you get a chance to follow a high school. How is the high school basketball in the Detroit area this year?
You know, I think it's solid. I mean, I haven't gone to any games yet. I usually wait until, like, February and March to go to some. But I heard it's solid. It's not where it used to be. But, you know, Earl, I mean, I just think we've had this drop-off. I don't know if we have anybody that's going to play NBA ball. And normally, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, I'd be able to rattle off a few names that are going to play in the NBA. I'm not certain who is. Maybe the kid that that went to Kentucky. From Rochester, maybe, but I think it's solid. I think it's better, but it's not what I'm used to growing up in the Detroit area and the state of Michigan.
Yes, it's like so many players, as we know, have moved out of the area and have moved to different places, and so it's making other places a lot stronger in basketball than what Michigan used to be.
Right, but, you know, look at Flint. I mean, the better players are playing out at Davidson and some of the Catholic schools, and you know, they've lost a lot of enrollment. So, you know, the traditional powers are no longer good. So, well, they don't have any players. Well, no, they're going to the suburban schools now. And that's been a total turnaround. So I don't know if we're going to have any Flintstones coming along anytime soon. I mean, they'll be from Flint, but they'll be playing for somebody else.
Yeah, it'll be different from usual, but I guess this is the days and times we have to put up with all these changes going on. People are constantly asking me. I just tell them that, hey, it's a different day and a different time, and we just have to change with the time.
Right, absolutely. nothing stays the same.
Right.
In any sport. You know what? We're about to have a, you know, national championship game, and what's going to be now, 2 years now, college football, that's going to change everything. You know, we're seeing, you know, MAC teams beat the Big Ten more often than they used to. That's changed right there. It used to be just Boise State is the cute little Midwest, you know, mid-major that was messing with people in football. Now you got TCU and Northern Illinois played in a BCS game, even though it didn't turn out well for them. But we're starting to see an evolution in college football. I mean, I don't even recognize who's in the Big East now. I have absolutely no idea what's going on with the Big East, who's there, the ACC. And I'll have to sit down at some point and study all the teams. But guess what? There could be more changes. Who knows?
That's true. There could be. I wouldn't be surprised if we have a lot more changes. I know we know the seven Catholic schools that left that are performing there. They're already talking about performing their own conference. So we'll probably see that pretty soon. But that's about it. It's unfortunate. We're seeing so many changes in college sports, and a lot of it has to do with that big television money. Television money runs the sports these days.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, if you can make money for that network, I mean, they're going to really hook you up. I was reading something in a, you know, a sports industry magazine, and they were just talking about how there's two college basketball games that ESPN absolutely has to show. It's North Carolina Duke, and the numbers and the money and everything and the revenue that it brings in, it just kills every other game, and that includes Michigan, Michigan State, and any other rivalry that you can put together. It just pales in comparison, and that's the one game. They have to show that. Of course, they played twice. If it's the one game they absolutely have to show, it's North Carolina Duke, and it's just it's a big moneymaker.
It is, and unfortunately, like you say, so many of us, so many fans, they just pay attention to that one game. They don't just look at all the games or a lot of games, but they'll pay attention to that one big game, and then they'll sort of glance casually at the rest of the games out there.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I tell you what, the thing I like about the Big Ten is there's a lot of games you have to pay attention to.
Yes.
I mean, Michigan is number two.
Yep.
Some people saying they could be number one if Duke loses to North Carolina State. But guess what? Michigan's got to go to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's no gimme there. So there's a bunch of – I can't wait, man, for this season to play out and to see who's going to be up top for what I'm going to consider the best Big Ten basketball conference ever.
Yeah,
ever.
I would say that as well. It's just so tough. All these teams, I mean, I was trying to think of just the bad team. It's just Nebraska, Penn State, and maybe Northwestern might be considered a bad team, but that's about it.
Yeah, but they're a good bad team.
Yeah.
Northwestern, so I'll give them credit for
yeah.
that. But, you know, but think about it. I mean, you know, Maryland coming into the conference, I mean, they're usually pretty good in basketball. Rutgers is decent, so – I mean, it could get even better. I mean, the Big Ten, I guess, is going to be a basketball conference from now on.
Yeah, they have to take it away from football. As we know, a certain friend of ours is always hailing the SEC and the SEC power. Well, we might have to give him the SEC power in football, but we won't take a backseat to him in basketball.
No, absolutely not. I know the SEC, I was reading a story that, you know, they're trying to, you know, figure out what can they do for basketball. But, you know, if you got football on lockdown, you know, who cares? I mean, you got the king there. And, you know, seven straight national championships. And, I mean, these games are getting lopsided, too. And it's just it's just ridiculous. And I was, you know, reading the polls for next year. Guess who's number one? Alabama. So, I mean, they could do it again next year, even though they've lost, it was a two or three players to the NFL. I mean, Nick Saban he reloads.
Yes,
and,
he does.
Yeah, they just keep staying up there.
Yes, they do. They keep getting better and better. You always keep wondering how, but he recruits better. They have a great nutrition program I was reading about down there to help their players. So they do a lot of the things that are very good to keep their players right and keep them on the and keep them focusing on the right track where they can be better. Have a good chance at competing for another title this coming year.
Yeah, but Earl, I got to throw one other thing. This has nothing to do with football. Mm-hmm. Those women down there are killer. Don't tell me they got all those pretty women on the sideline doing all this clapping stuff. The recruits don't look at that and say, I think I want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big tool there.
That's
of course,
true.
The coaches won't bring that up, but come on now. We know what's happening. We know how fellas think.
Yep. And there'll be a lot of them thinking and hoping that they can become good friends with one of them or two of them down there.
Yeah. Or three. You never know.
That's true.
Absolutely.
That's sports. When you look at sports in Michigan, we just how do you look when you look at our Pistons? The Pistons are, boy, is that a sad franchise? Or do you think they're one of those franchises that are still learning how to play? But it just seems like they're always struggling.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, when I look at the Pistons closely, they're a team that competes very well. They don't know how to win in the fourth quarter. And I guess that's the same thing we talked about the Detroit Lions with.
Yeah.
About, you know, they kind of fall apart. Now, they're young, and hopefully they can keep those pieces. If they could get a young scoring wing, I think that would be I think that would put the Pistons in playoff position. Of course, that's not going to happen this year, but I'm talking about for next year if they can find that in the draft. I just view this as a young team that, you know, people here just really don't care about. And the attendance kind of plays that out. The Detroit News had another attendance article today. You know, we've done things on our radio show. Look at the secondary market. I mean, you can get Piston tickets for $5, $10, yeah. and people have been getting courtside seats for like $80, $125, which is unheard of. So, I mean, it's they're really out of sight, out of mind. When you have an arena in Auburn Hills, when the team is good, it's a destination.
Yeah.
When the team is bad, it's forgotten or deserted. So that's the way it works here for the Pistons. I think I would love to see them move downtown.
And they might. I mean, I've heard a lot of talk about that. I didn't think it would happen, but there certainly seems to be a lot of buzz around town about moving the Pistons, moving back downtown. I guess it could happen in the next few years.
Here's what my understanding is. Tom Gorris is going to get a proposal from Mike Gillich, the City of Detroit, Metro Conventions Bureau, whatever, and he's going to have to make a decision. Stay with what he's got. Will come downtown. They're going to give him a very good offer. From the people I've talked to, he's definitely they're definitely going to want to sit down to him with him. Now, does he want to come downtown and make the Palace a mostly music venue? And I heard that they would get him an arena team and some other stuff. But he has to make that decision. And to me, going downtown is a no-brainer because when you stink. At least you're going to get a certain amount of people coming downtown and be enthused about it. Right now, you know, they may as well be playing up in Traverse City.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Terry, what about the Detroit Tigers? That's a team that, you know, that's a hard team sometimes. They're a hard team to figure out.
No, they are. But that starting lineup is great. And you know what? The key is Victor Martinez. What is he going to be? Now, I heard there's some good reports about him. And I'm really, I'll be honest, I'm excited to see what Cabrera, Fielder, and V-Mart looks like. And then you throw in Torrey Hunter probably batting ahead of them. Earl, that, I guess, I don't care where I am. I'm going to sit down when those three guys are coming up to bat. I'm going to be watching that, and I'm real curious. Now, Victor Martinez is, I don't know, three-fourths of what he was before the injury.
Yeah.
This team is going to be very, very, very dangerous. They already got... You know, they got six starting pitchers, and they're looking to trade one. I've heard that, everybody's heard the J.J. Hardy trade, possibly J.J. Hardy coming here, who's got, you know, way more range than Peralta, for Rick Porcello. So if they could figure that one out and make that defensive infield better, I would be excited about that. The thing that scares me about them is still the gloves. That's not a good defensive team. And when I saw the Giants sweep them, there was the small fundamental things that the Giants did way better. They played fundamental baseball better than the Tigers. Fielding, pitching, catching the baseball, making clutch hits. Man, they were just lights out against the Tigers.
And that's tough. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Hey, Terry, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll do it again and talk again. As you know, we got a couple of more months left before we'll be signing off. But we'll talk again pretty soon, buddy.
Absolutely. I'm going to bring like 400 or 500 people up there for your final show, my friend.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
All right, take it easy.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Yeah, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Terry Foster talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Think exercise will help you shed pounds? You actually burn more calories sleeping and watching TV. I'm Ira Flatow. Robert Lustig joins me on Science Friday for fallacies about fat, food, and exercise. Plus, adapting to living on Mars, how to cook on Martian gravity, all on Science Friday from NPR.
Man, if I can put cook on Mars, how much weight could I lose if I can look cook on Mars there, Alex? That would be something, I get a chance to cook on Mars. We'll have to try that sometime. Maybe you can fly me up there and we'll experiment with a little chefing up there and see if we can lose us a couple of pounds on Mars. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. The time is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after we take this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
For the rest of the day today, look for a chance of rain and a high in the low 50s. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy skies becoming partly cloudy, a low in the upper 40s. Partly sunny for Saturday, highs in the upper 50s, and a mostly cloudy day on Sunday. There's a chance of light freezing rain, light snow, and light sleet, and a high in the lower 30s. I'm Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we'll talk a little bit of Big Ten basketball. We'll try to make contact with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News and also from the Big Ten Network and talk with him. He knows how good the Big Ten is. The Big Ten is really a tough conference this year. You know, you don't make any apologies for it. You don't say anything that could be undermining of it because they have nothing but very good teams. Let's go to Mike DeCourcy and talk with him. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well, Earl. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm just amazed so far about we've got so many good teams in the Big Ten this year. I've often said we've got 10 teams. Just probably the worst teams are Northwestern. I mean, not Northwestern, our Nebraska and Penn State. Would you say it like that, or do we have any more bad teams in the Big Ten?
Yeah, and you know, you got to, in those cases, you look at Penn State, which isn't what it would have been had Tim Frazier not gotten hurt. Northwestern would be better without its multiple absences, part injury, part suspension, or whatever you want to call it. So there would be even more good teams were it not for a little bit of misfortune. And Nebraska, of course, rebuilding. Purdue is not great, but they've played terrifically at home. So it's, you know, it's a very difficult league. And then the ones I haven't mentioned, 1 through 7 or 1 through 8, it's just an outstanding league.
Yeah, Iowa had placed, as you know, a very good game against Michigan State last night.
They're very good. They just they've had a difficult schedule to start. I mean, think about it. They had to play Indiana at home. They had to go on the road after that game to play at Michigan, excuse me, which is you're talking about two of the three best teams in the league. And then in Michigan State's case, a team that would very much like to be, you know, perhaps one of the four best teams in the league and probably is. So Iowa's start has not been fortuitous, but now they've got a chance to prove themselves a little bit. In a stretch of games of what would be considered winnable games at Northwestern, Wisconsin, at Ohio State, at Purdue. So they're going to have to do it on the road a little bit, but they're all teams that are beatable.
Yes, when I look at Michigan State, like you, I see teams that they can win all these games, but they can also lose a lot of games. That's what happens when you're a young team, and I don't think people understand how it is to be a young team playing in a veteran conference or a conference like the Big Ten, where the seniors and juniors don't get a lot of respect, but the freshmen and sophomores who are really good, a lot of people are always talking about them. I know I hear a lot about the freshmen and sophomores, but I hear very little talk about the seniors and juniors.
Well, are you telling me that Michigan State's a young team?
Yeah.
I can't agree with you there, Earl. Huh? Not in today's college basketball. I don't think that you can make the case that they're a young team. I think they have some young players. But when you return 3-4 starters, and you know, basically with Appling and Dawson and Payne and Nix, you know, that's four guys that are essentially starters from last year, if not – you know, okay, maybe one came off the bench. Yeah, they have some young players that are very important to them, Gary Harris, Denzel Valentine. But, that, you know, young team now is like Kentucky where you start four freshmen. That's young.
Yeah, that is.
You're a veteran team now. And yeah, you're not completely where you want to be, and you've got to work out some things about how your rotation works best. But I don't think youth is the issue with this club.
Yeah, when you look at it from that standpoint, how good is the Big Ten this year, or how are they with all the young players that they're using? How good is the Big Ten, would you say, this year?
Earl, I will say that I have seen better conferences, mm-hmm. But I have never seen a greater difference between the best conference and the second conference that I can remember. I think that's what I look at when I look at this Big Ten. I think there might even have been better Big Ten years than this one. Not many, but maybe some. But I look at the Big East in 1991 when they got 7 out of 9 teams. I mean, I'd say that was probably a better season top to bottom. I think the Big Ten has had better top to bottom seasons. I think the Big East, when they got 11 teams in 2011, probably a better top to bottom season. But very few leagues that have been this good at the top. And like I said, the most jarring difference is the distance between the Big Ten and every other conference. When you look at the college, at the conference RPI ratings, the number two conference is the Mountain West. I mean, the Mountain West is a very good league.
Yeah.
But New Mexico finishes 8th in this league, even with the advantage they have at home. You know, Vegas would finish 5th or 6th. So that's the number two RPI league. The Big East, obviously not playing as strong an opponents overall, and not as strong at the bottom as they might want to be. They probably have more good teams, but again, part of that is a function of having so many teams.
I asked one of our other former guests. Let me ask you this question as well. Do you think that the book Spygate had any impact on New England, on the Patriots at all?
Do I think the book?
Yeah, that book, the Spygate that they came out, that they wrote about the Patriots.
Well, I mean, I think I don't know that the book did. I mean, I think that the case had some impact on them, but not as probably as much as it should have. I was always an advocate of them getting greater penalties than just the fines.
Yeah, I.
As you saw with the Saints, what severe penalties they got. I thought that the Patriots, by comparison, got off fairly light.
Yeah, I do too. I thought that as well, but you know, it happened what happened. Well, we got a caller on the line for you. We got Jim from Howe. Jim, how you doing?
Earl, I just called in late. I didn't realize that this was kind of a restricted call. I really wanted to ask you, in all your life, if you've ever seen a worse game than last night.
Well, it wasn't a bad game. I mean, it was a game that Michigan State won, so I thought it was a pretty good, pretty exciting game.
It was exciting, but how horrible can you get? I mean, when Tom walked over to shake hands, all he did was shake his head, saying neither team should have won this game. We were both so bad.
Yeah, but somebody's got to win it. We know that.
Of course. I agree with that. I'm just kind of joking around it. The worst game that imaginable, but yeah, State won it, and that's what they needed to do.
Yeah, and they did that, and that's what happens with a lot of basketball games.
What was so bad about a game in which one team shot 45% from the field, the other team only turned it over 12 times?
Did you see it?
Yeah, I didn't.
I had several games going at once.
Well, you should have watched that. If you should have watched the whole game. You wouldn't ask that question. What was so bad about it? It was a horrible game. It was a horrible game, but State won, and that's what you have to do on the road. You're going to have games like that once in a while. But Earl's seen a lot of games, and I doubt if he's ever seen one much worse anyway. That's all. I just kind of call into to renew old friendships, Earl.
Okay, thank you. Yes, we do see some bad games from time to time. Most of them are pretty good or are played pretty well, but, you know, every game has some elements of games, of course, that aren't that good. And I know we get a chance to see a lot of that, Mike. We get a chance to see a lot of games that are supposed to be good games, and they turn out to be stinkers or clunkers. That happens all the time in the sport of basketball.
I got to be honest with you, Earl. I drove 3 hours last Saturday from Chicago to Champaign, Illinois, to watch Ohio State get beat by 30. If I had showed up there and it had been 62-59, I would not have been unhappy.
Yeah.
One way or the other, whichever way it went, I would have been happy to see a competitive game.
Yeah, and I think we're all like that. We love to see a good competitive game. You know, sometimes we don't even care who wins, just to see a good, highly played game, and that's all you can ask for. In most parts, I know I'm always looking for a good played game. Sure, it'd be nice if Michigan State won, but if not, I just like to see a good, well played game. Sometimes you do, but sometimes you don't.
I'm sure that's true. As I said, I was watching multiple games At the time that was on, there was Carolina was playing, Xavier was playing Temple, so I was flicking back and forth. So the impression that the gentleman had was lost on me. But a game that ends up with a shot to tie at the buzzer, I have a hard time complaining about that most nights.
Yeah, do you see many sort of bad teams this year, or teams like Butler that were really good, but they're still a good team, but they're not maybe quite as strong as they used to be. It seems like we've got a lot more mid-major teams that are moving their muscle, having a little bit more muscle, aren't they?
Well, I think if you look at Creighton, they're terrific. Wichita State is playing very well with an almost entirely revamped roster. There are some very good mid-major basketball teams out there, and I think that I think you're going to see Creighton being very dangerous when we get into March with a terrific player like McDermott, some guys that can really shoot the basketball, some size in Gregory Eshinikwe. That's a team that's very dangerous.
Yeah. Now, do you see? I mean, we've always been very prideful around here in the Midwest, especially about the good high school basketball in the area that's played in. But do you see it more moving down south with the change in population, with the population shift that we're seeing better players, or at least the South are getting more good players down there, as opposed to just having a ton of football players?
Oh, there's been great players down south for a long time. I mean, when I was a kid following high school recruiting through the Street and Smith yearbooks and that sort of thing, I remember some very good players from down there that were significant players. I don't think that we've seen a great deterioration from the terrific basketball playing cities in the north, Detroit, Chicago. Those places are continuing to really churn out players. Indiana, the entire state, has been phenomenal. Ohio has actually risen in the last decade or so. New York City is the one place where it sort of seems to have leveled off a bit. We have not seen the traditional level of talent come out of New York that we did maybe 15, 20 years ago. It seems to have plateaued or slid a little bit. I'm not sure exactly how to explain why that's the case. But certainly there's still a ton of population there. But the game has not quite been what it once was in New York City. And that, for those of us who romanticize New York City basketball a little bit, it is kind of a disappointment.
Yes. Now, what about when we look at these teams? How about when you look at a team out of New York? How much do you impact? Do you think that AAU has on these teams? Because I know in Chicago for a long time, AAU just completely controls the basketball there. How do you see how AAU basketball has influenced high school basketball these days?
Well, what it's done is that I think the AAU mentality has taken players and convinced them that they aren't necessarily stuck, for lack of a better term, at the school where that's in their district, and that could be both beneficial and negative. It's beneficial in the sense that if you're in a bad academic district, you can go out to a prep school or something like that and maybe get a better education, maybe prepared for. Play a better level of competition.
Okay, we got a caller on the line. Yeah, we got a caller on the line for you. We got Dave from Phoenix. Dave, how you doing?
Well, hello, Earl, and hi, Mike. Good to hear you.
Oh, happy to be here.
You know, Mike, it was just a few short years ago that I would send you an email complaining about the state of Michigan basketball, and you would respond with an email saying that the problem is I'm the only one that cares about Michigan basketball. And now there's a lot of people on the bandwagon, surprisingly enough.
Let me make a point about that. And when I said the only one, I wasn't just talking about fans. Yeah. And I think that, and I wrote about this summer. There's a column on the internet, if you want to look it up, that I wrote about Michigan and what a difference it is now that Michigan is invested in Michigan. The renovations to Chrysler, the Davidson Center. The Davidson Center is one of the best basketball facilities in the country. 15 years ago, and even John Beilein said this when he arrived, the idea was kind of like, we're Michigan, so what do we need all the rest of this stuff for? And, there's a point to be made. The University of Michigan is one of the great universities in the country, But when other great universities in the country are building buildings like the Davidson or making their arena more a better home court, you got to keep up. And Michigan is now not only keeping up, they're flying in front.
You know what? There's some truth to that. But also, the turnaround started before the new facilities actually came online. Because you'll remember, I mean, Beilein is in year number six. And in year number two, he had a very good turnaround season, an unexpected bid to the NCAA tournament. But then he stepped back with an underachieving season the next year in year three. And then in year four, which is just 2 years ago, they started out something like 1-5 in the Big Ten. And boy, was there a lot of criticism. At that point, people thought his program was going absolutely nowhere. But since then, they went into East Lansing in late January that year, 2 years ago, and they got a very unexpected victory. And since then, they've really played well, making the tournament that year, winning the Big Ten title last year, and now obviously this year speaks for itself.
Well, you know, let me make sure we recognize that they've shared it because of where of who we're speaking to here. They did do a great job, and I never doubted that John would get it done. He's one of the best technical coaches in basketball, and now we're seeing one of the things that we never really knew, and John admits this himself as well. How would it work with really good players?
Yeah.
Because he never had he had good players, good college players at West Virginia, at Michigan early. Now he's got elite talent. Trey Burke's a pro. Glenn's a pro. I think Stauss is going to play in the league. Certainly Tim Hardaway. So now you see with those guys that he's accentuating their abilities. He's not suppressing them with system. He still has the system, and it still works in places. But he's allowing those guys to do what they do as well, and I think that's phenomenal to see.
You know what? I was actually at the title game in Philadelphia in 1976, Michigan versus Indiana. Any chance we could see a rematch in the title game this year?
Not. It is totally in the realm of possibility as long as they're matched in opposite brackets. Yes. I mean, I think they're two of the best teams in the country, two of the three, four, five best teams in the country. Two of the teams with the best possibility of winning it all. What Michigan has to do to get there, Indiana has to tighten up its offense and figure out what he wants to do offensively, but they have the stuff to do it, and they're not doing badly now. Michigan has to amp up its defense a little bit. They're much better than they were, but they have to go from being good to very good to being very good to excellent. And that's their challenge between now and the start of the NCAAs.
Yep, and obviously the competition's going to step up from what they've played so far.
Yep.
Right, and I think that'll probably force them to play better defense, because if they don't, then they're going to start to lose some of the games that they could win.
Yep.
Well,
I'm looking forward to it. Good talking with you guys.
Okay, thank you, Dave. And, hey, thank you, Mike. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we have a lot of good calls. A lot of people really care about Big Ten basketball. A lot of times I like to say in some ways we care more about basketball than we do in football. I mean, I know that becomes come from a little bit of a bias there, but it's still a football conference. But basketball has its hold here, doesn't it?
It does. It's a basketball conference this year, having a great year, and it's going to continue. Big Ten basketball and beyond on Sunday evening at 8:30, if you want to watch with me and Jimmy Jackson and Dave Revson. And then also, I know you have an educated audience. A lot of people have iPads. Download the free Sporting News iPad app. It's a great product and a great deal. Gets you a free daily national sports section every day.
Okay. Thanks, Mike, and I will talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, Earl.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's our good friend Mike DeCourcy talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow and have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. And we'll see you tonight over at Lansing Sexton.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.